I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But this little dink ball, no one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
Oh, really? Yeah, I wouldn't be asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring at me, "Hey, Coffrey, you free state bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."
All right, so I want to start off the show today by apologising to my father. I was supposed to paint the gable end of the house with him. I wasn't going to do a show today, but I just watched Meath yesterday and the game was so exciting, incredible finish. I've had to let the father down. I had to torture yourself and Breed, Sarah, at about 9 o'clock last night to come in and do a show. It just feels like you have to talk about this show or about this match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a huge day for ladies football. And I think, you know, Dublin have really raised the bar over the last 4 or 5 years. And prior to that, Cork. And, you know, I think Cora said something last night. It's been since 2004 that it's either been Cork or Dublin. So to see another team win yesterday was just, you know, unbelievable. The absolute scenes in Croke Park yesterday.
Yeah. Breach Corkery, you won't think it was boring at all that yourselves and Dublin were dominating, but I can't understand how this kind of, how people haven't been complaining about this. It's been a two-horse race since 2004.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I suppose, look, it's, obviously we were delighted because we were on the good side of things most of the time. But like, it's great for ladies football to see a change in things. Obviously, you know, everyone wants the top people knocked off, and for years we were always those people that wanted to be beaten. So we know how Dublin feel when the unbeaten run gets challenged. And look, they've had a fantastic run, and they've had a lot of losses over the years, Dublin had. So you know, I suppose we're just, it was great for me to take that win yesterday, and geez, it was a great match to watch.
Yeah, it was fantastic, exciting. Like, I mean, put into context some bits there about where Meath are after coming from. Like, we know they were intermediate. Like, the stories of them being hammered 6 years ago by 40 points on TV. They only scored 3 points. Like, they were no hopers pretty much. It's an incredible story.
It's an unbelievable story, and like, you would love just to get inside their camp for a week and just see what it's about, because from the outside looking in, I think you feel like there's a very strong connection and bond there that they've obviously built over time, and you can really feel a sense of a really good team culture in there. And even the way they speak and the messages that they were given throughout the week, I thought were very good. And the way the manager has been involved in ladies football for 15 years and he never really thought he'd be in this position. And then as well, the way they spoke leading up to the game was about, like, you know, it is our dream to play in Croke Park, but it's our dream to win. And it was just, I suppose it was kind of one of those things that you're like, they're destined to achieve something. But at the same time, everyone has underestimated them over the last while. And I was like, can they do it? Like, you know, there was a sense of maybe this has been a fluke for them the last couple of games. Did they just scrape by Cork?
Yeah.
Will they, you know, turn up to the final and have stage fright and not get over Dublin at all, and Dublin walk all over them? You know, there was a feeling of maybe that could happen. And I think absolute credit to them and the way they stood up yesterday and the way they worked for each other. But you could see that they were extremely well organised, extremely well coached, and they knew exactly what they were doing. So it was absolutely no fluke that they were in that position yesterday.
Definitely not. And I do think that the finish against Cork kind of fed into this underdogs thing, Breed. You know, they were steeped to get out of there that day. It was, you know, it was a brilliant finish for them. But there was still a feeling that they weren't as good as Cork. They just had that great finish. And then they're playing a team that's better than Cork. You know, it was real kind of underdog coming into it. Like, it was 1-10 in the bookies.
I was delighted with their win yesterday. I had them backed at 8-1, so.
Really? How much?
I got €90 back.
Very good.
I only threw a tenner at him. Look, I suppose I definitely gave him a chance yesterday. I think against Cork, I think they were nervous going in against Cork in Croke Park. There was a couple of times there they were gone through for a score, and their last pass, the pass was perfect. It was just they fumbled. And I think that was nerves. And in the last 10 minutes against Cork, those passes went through for them. And it was like they were starting to grow more in confidence. I think, you know, and then in extra time, they just totally grew in confidence. And I like yesterday, I was kind of saying maybe Dublin will just have that little bit over them, but I wouldn't be writing them off completely. I was at home with my family. We were talking about the match, you know, and I think it was something similar to us in 2005 against Galway. We weren't given any chance against Galway at all. And sometimes you're better off. And if you're growing in confidence, you know, that can help you drive on a little bit more. You've nothing to lose. They let the shackles off. And look, I suppose Dublin, I don't think Dublin were ready for their intensity either. But yeah, it was, you know, they played to their heart contents, but they were definitely growing in confidence. And as Sarah said there a while ago, like, their articles were very confident but not cocky, which was a good sign of them, you know.
They lost two intermediates in a row, so a huge improvement under Eamon Murray. But they still lost two finals and then got over it on the third occasion. So, like, Tyrone and Tipperary beat them. What did they... They didn't do much in the senior. Like, how have me done this? I'm scratching my head thinking, how is this even... Is it the style of play that they changed, Sarah? You know, that it's difficult to play against.
Yeah, I think it's their style of play is really good. I think that... I was away now in Australia at the time, but Mayo ladies played them as well in a challenge game, and they beat Mayo quite well. And, you know, again, it was this... How did we lose to me? The kind of feeling,
yeah.
Or what are they doing? But then you go, actually, they're really hard to break down. And when, like I said, they probably haven't been given the credit or the respect that they deserve. But it has been an unbelievable turnaround, and it's kind of nearly one that's a bit unheard of. But I think even you see their number 14, Emma Duggan, and she's all the way back in the full back line. So the way that they move, the way that they get up and down the field is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they're all working for each other, and it's a very cohesive unit. You can see that. And they also hold the ball really well, and they manage it. They kind of know Vicky Wall is either, you know, breaking lines and bursting through, or but there's always someone behind her on her shoulder to loop back and to kind of settle the play and then go again. So they know when to go fast and when to slow it down.
Yeah. Mentioning Emma Duggan, did she mean the goal, Breed?
Look, I'm not too sure, but sure, look, it was still a fantastic goal. I think she's a smart player. So I wouldn't put it past her. I think only she can say that, to be honest. You know, I'd hate to discredit her if she did mean it. So it was, if it was a point, it would have been an unbelievable point. And it was even a better goal, you know, I suppose. And the timing was perfect. So I don't know. It's hard to know whether she meant it or not. But I do think she's a very classy player. And, you know, I'll give her the credit of it if I can. Yeah.
What's your take, Sarah? I think she pretty much said after the game she did mean it. The goalie was way off her line. I watched it back and I'm like, I didn't think she did it the first time. And then I watched it back again. I was like, I think she might have meant it. If she was sending it, maybe if it landed on the net and it was a point, big deal. But if I lob her, great.
Yeah, well, I know myself. Yeah. If I was her, I would definitely say that I was going for the goal anyway. So there's no
that
way.
That goes without saying.
So we're going to say, yeah, she went for the goal and she meant it and it was unbelievable. And, you know, I suppose, but like that, you said she scored a few crack. She had another, I think she had another opportunity at one point. But in general, like Bridge said, she's a very classy player and, you know, I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah, I like the way she carries herself on the field. She's good and she kind of knows she's good. Do you know that? Yeah. If that makes sense. She's half a Portlaoise woman as well. Her father won county titles with Portlaoise.
She wouldn't be playing a junior championship at the age of 42 like yourself.
Did you, Breed, did you see her interview after the game where the cameraman was walking backwards and she was walking towards the camera? And it was a brilliant interview in TG Cahir. And then the cameraman at one stage, I think it's Jerome Quinn, he says, "Here, what are we doing walking?" And Emma just says, "I don't know what I'm doing. This is just..." She was kind of completely overcome with emotion at that stage.
Now, I didn't see that part, no, to be honest. But I suppose in her interviews, she comes across like she means business, you know, and she does the business on the pitch, which is vitally important, you know. So I wouldn't put it past her to just keep walking, and, you know, I don't think she's in it for the limelight. I think she's there to work hard and be a good player and work to the best of her ability, you know. And she's a joy to watch. Maybe she was a little quieter yesterday. I know she still scored savage scores or whatever, but she was much quieter than usual. But not much quieter, but she was definitely quieter. But at the end of the day, she was still unbelievable, like, which is... That's what a sign of someone, like, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I think she had 3 shots at the goal from play and scored 1-2. She probably wasn't on as much ball as you would have expected, Sarah. Here's a question I want to throw at you, Sarah. Throw the two of you. Were Dublin complacent? The reason I'm asking is because Mick Bowen was interviewed before the game, and this isn't hindsight stuff. I remember thinking it as he was talking. Now, he was very gracious after the game. I don't want to be too critical of him, but he started talking about Limerick and Limerick's perfect performance against Cork, and, you know, that's what we're striving for, a perfect 70. He never talked about what Meath were going to bring, the intensity, the battle. It was all like, we're striving for this kind of perfection. And I was like, you know, is that really what you want to be talking about before an All-Ireland final?
Yeah, I think Mick, like, I know him a bit from DCU, and I think, like, absolute, as I said, credit to Dublin and what they've done over the last couple of years. And because he came in off the back of so many of Dublin's losses, you know, I do have the utmost respect for what he has done. I think his messaging always prior to games is always a bit peculiar, because he either talks about the foul, or he loves to talk about the foul, and or sometimes he can lose maybe his train of thought. But I don't know if that's well thought out or if that's just him kind of deflect from Dublin. I'm not sure which way it is, but my guess is that was probably well thought out. But yeah, I think that's unusual that he was talking about Cork and Limerick. I didn't see that interview myself, but it's, you know, you'd think that you'd be just all focus on. So I suppose in terms of complacency, I'd say there's probably a small bit of that for Dublin, but I also think that Meath were just so well coached and well organised, and I think where they really got them was the kickouts. Ciara Trant's unbelievable experience, but I think she was really under pressure yesterday, and I think just like the way they pressed up and they marked the kickouts zonally was, I suppose, the turning point. And kickouts are huge in ladies football, like they're often the winning and the losing of the game. So I think that's where they really, you know, took Dublin on.
Yeah, I don't think they were expecting that. And Mick Bowen said after the game then, Breach, I'm going to stick on Mick Bowen here for a minute. I don't know if this is what he said after the game then. I'm putting this on the back of what he said before the game, looking for perfection and Limerick and all this stuff. He says, "I don't know if I saw that coming. Maybe we didn't. I couldn't get over their intensity. It's the first time we've seen it up front." You know, I've seen that then and I'm thinking, geez, are these just coasting into a final here thinking that it's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Dublin were complacent. You could even see it in their play. You know, and I'm not taking anything from Meath here, but I do think, you know, when Meath got past Dublin, it was like they were shocked they got past them. And then they'd have to be like, oh God, they're gone past me, you know. I do feel Dublin were a little bit complacent. And I think, you know, and even as you said, Mick Bowen did say it at the end, you know, he said, we didn't see it coming. The other thing as well is they wouldn't have played them in any Leinster Championship this year, or have ever played them in Leinster Championship. So I suppose they didn't know a huge amount about them. Dublin have been very strong over Cork, I suppose, in the last 2 years, maybe. You know, they just seem to be. I know some games the score wasn't, there wasn't a huge scoring difference, but there was definitely, you could see Dublin were a much stronger team. Maybe that's what they were going off, that, you know, they beat Cork, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think maybe Dublin were a little bit complacent, and I think that'll hurt them a lot. But I'm sure they'll bounce back from it, and it'll make next year very competitive and very interesting.
Yeah, I thought even at the end, again, this is not taken away from me. They're the story of this. They were sensational. What they've done is just beyond belief. But even at the end, when Meade were passing it around, trying to run down the clock, were Dublin really hunting them down? You know, it just didn't feel like they kind of were.
I think as well, in the middle of all that success for each meet, maybe you can answer this question because I can't certainly. But, you know, in a place where you've achieved time and time again, you know, they're going for five in a row here. Is there a sense of that you get tired, and that, you know, is there ever that feeling of, well, you know, it's the same thing, it's repetitive year in, year out? And like, I'd say you never get sick of succeeding, but, you know, there might come a time where there's a lapse in concentration. That's what I felt from Dublin. And even when we were going out to play them at Mayo this year, a part of you goes, you know, somewhere in that, all that professionalism, all the money that they pump into Dublin GA, there's tired bodies, tired minds, and, you know, maybe there was a sense of that as well. Yeah. I don't know, Breed, you can probably answer more on that, or being in a successful environment for so long, is there ever a time where you go, you know...
I don't think Breed ever got tired of winning.
No,
Breed
never did, because she just did it time and time again. I wish I could say the same about myself.
No, there's certainly, you know, there's... I suppose, look, we were very lucky that, you know, it might have happened to us in Munster finals where Kerry bet us, and we knew we were better than that, and we knew something had gone stale. So we'll say Eamon would have liked changed something up again, you know, and I just think it might have just happened Dublin yesterday that, you know, that they were, you know, they'd a lot won. Maybe they were having a little bit of hunger issues, you know, like, and it does happen, like 4 years on the road. And you have to say, like, there's a lot of those girls have more than just 4 years in a row done. Like, you look at Lindsay Davey and you look at Sinead Ahern, they're there since 2004. Like, unbelievable players, unbelievable servants. But, you know, after their successive wins, like, you know, they're bound to get kind of, you know, I suppose, how would you say, not enough of it, but sometimes a lot can make you eager for more.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's, and again, we're not taking away from Meade at all, but it is the honesty about it too, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We have to talk about Vicky Wall's steps. Does she overcarry every time she gets the ball? Like, I mean, she's incredible. We have her, like, she was player of the match, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Like, and the style of football seems to really suit her, that she's carrying it all the time and she's so strong. She takes an awful lot of steps. And then I thought it was funny, I was tweeting about this, the one time she didn't overcarry, the ref caught her for overcarrying.
Yeah, I have to say there was one or two times where I was like, no, that's definitely steps, Vicky. You're going to have to pull it back a small bit. But I think she's so powerful that, like, even you could see the likes of, like, a player like Sinead Goldrick, who's also a lot of power and pace as well, was like clinching at her arms, like trying to catch her, but Vicky's power was just too much for them, and it was like she broke the lines all the time. She caused absolute havoc going through the middle, because even Lara McGee, again another player who's extremely strong, when you hit her it's like hitting a brick wall, and Vicky was just ploughing through them. They were trying, they were trying to grab her arm, they just couldn't get there. So yeah, but I don't know about the steps now, as in that might have to be rewatched and we'll look at that one again.
A lot of people after the game, Breach, were saying that it was a very physical game and things like that, and there was some, you know, tough challenges earlier on. There was a high one on Emma Duggan into the chest and she went down and stuff like that. Like, do we want more? Like, I think that added to the game, and I know this isn't a new conversation, but the crowd likes to see physicality. You're not allowed shoulder. You know, to be honest, if one of the girls goes down, it's a free. You know, like, can the game be improved by not blowing these as fouls and bringing some more physicality into the game?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed the game yesterday. Like, you just don't want it to get too rough. That's the main thing. But I did enjoy watching it. Look, there was a few couple of high challenges. There was a couple of decisions that went either way that you'd be dubious about. But the game is getting faster. It's not easy for refs. I don't like giving out about refs in general because I think it's not easy to ref a game, you know. I suppose the one on Emma Duggan, there was another one on, was it Neva Sullivan? She got another one into the face. I think if you're a player, the Dublins, they're just going to stand there and they're going to do the best they can, you know, to stop someone. I think the ref probably should have given me a couple of frees there. But then on the other hand, like as we were talking there, Vicky Wall got away with a couple of steps a couple of times. But, you know, so I like to see that bit of strength in it. A little bit of physicality. It just makes it more interesting. And as you said, it's more crowd pleasing. It's much easier to watch if it's let flow, and it's much more enjoyable as well. So, I often go back to like when we were playing, Eamon Ryan said, if you get hit, the main thing you do is don't go down. He was like, keep going, because if you go down, that they'll only enjoy you going down. So, you know, that was the one thing I was saying, like, you know, the Meath players, I was like, get up again, or the Dunn players, just get up again, you know, just keep going. And I'd like to see a lot of that as well.
Yeah, it just feels like more of a contest when there's more physicality. I know, Sarah, you have been on record saying you'd like to see the shoulder-to-shoulder, you know, tacker or charge come in. Like, that would add to the game. I just don't understand. What's the argument for it not coming in?
Well, I just think as well, the tackle is not clearly defined and it's dependent on the referee. So I actually don't know, like watching the game yesterday, I was like, I don't know if that's going to be free or not. Like I couldn't tell what it was going to be, because I think the inconsistency in refereeing is more so. For me, it's either there is physicality or there's not, but it definitely changes from game to game. So for me, I'm like, there just needs to be consistency there, whichever way it is.
Like, we're not, obviously the Neva Sullivan was a stonewall free in any, you know, in the men's game, whatever, it's a hand to the face. But, and so was the other one, and Emma Duggan, it was kind of a push to the chest. But I don't know, I think sometimes when you're, Breach, if you're tackling somebody and your momentum might bump into them, you know, that's blown then as a free, and it's not really it shouldn't really be a free. Well, it should under the rules, I'm saying. I wish it wasn't.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I suppose myself and my husband, we were having an argument about that. He was like, it's not a free, it was momentum carried her. But like, yes, like we have to be realistic. If momentum carries you and you commit a foul, then it's still a foul, you know. So, I kind of found yesterday there was some like poor decisions made. I'd have given maybe freeze a different way when I was watching it. I was watching it on television, so I would have given freeze another way. I suppose there was a couple of times there, Mead, they were going with the ball, and instead of going straight through the player, they turned and the Dublin player came up against them, and Dublin got a free out for. A free out every time nearly for that, whereas I'd have felt there should have been no free given, because me didn't actually go in for the shoulder into anyone, you know. It was, you know, I don't think bringing in the shoulder will define anything either, you know. That's my own personal opinion, but I just think, you know, definitely the physicality is great, but there was just a couple of decisions that were a bit dubious. But again, as I said, I don't like to give out about refs, because it's not an easy job.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it goes. The LGFA President Marie Hickey said the counties are free to make proposals regarding rule changes at our annual Congress. I don't recall any proposals in recent times trying to change that. So I suppose it's, instead of talking about it, Sarah, this isn't just directed at you, but you know, you go to your club, you bring a potential rule change to your county convention, and that they bring it to Congress, and maybe you get it debated, and finally to maybe bring some of that shoulder in. But Breach isn't too sure she wants it. I thought it was an overwhelming majority that did want it.
Yeah, I think when you talk to, I suppose, players who played in the men's game as well, and who watch a lot of men's football as well, they go and they watch a women's game. I was actually watching the game yesterday with Shamie O'Shea. He's married to my sister. God forbid I mention the O'Shea's in this room. But he was saying, he's like, I don't know, Sarah, can you explain to me what the tackle is? And I'm like, I don't know, can I? Because I do, as I said, I think it's inconsistent. So I do think that it just needs to be a bit more clearly defined. And I think even for, with the Mayo ladies, like we have people who've been involved with men's setups for a good few years as well. And there probably is that sense of just a small bit of confusion. So I would like to see a bit more physicality. Obviously, just, I suppose, the nature of coming from playing in Australia and all that, you kind of get used to it. And when I come home, I catch the ball and I kind of expect someone to jump on my back, but they don't, because obviously there's no contact at all. So I would like to see it, because I do think it adds another dimension to the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Right, come here, we'll leave it there now, because I spoke with the player of the match, Vicky Wall, earlier on the phone, and I started off by asking her how the celebrations went last night.
Yeah, they were absolutely class. We really enjoyed ourselves, and we definitely have a few more days left in the set. Yeah, anyway.
I think it was Eamon Murray says that you're heroes for life in Meath.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose like the scenes getting off the bus yesterday, even coming in through trim and stuff, and like the amount of people that were here, it was just absolutely unbelievable. Like, and so many people from our clubs, and just even people that are just interested in Gaa in general and Meath. So it was just unbelievable.
I think like Meath, even the men's team have been starved for success. The women's team have never won it. So I suppose the whole county is just desperate for this win.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, the fact that we'd never been there before, I suppose, was something we'd mentioned. And obviously, we wanted to go up and do the job. And I think it was just like, there was just immense support throughout the county throughout the entire few weeks leading up to the final. So, yeah, it was just unbelievable.
That was one thing I commented on watching the game as well. It was the support that Meath had. It's not often supporters outnumber Dublin in Croke Park, but it seemed like you had the majority there.
Yeah, absolutely. Even a few times, I think, towards those kind of 15 minutes in the second half where Dublin definitely kind of got the run of us a bit and got a good few scores just before the water break. Like, even when we got that score from the water break, like the cheers and the roars and stuff like that definitely spurred us on. And I suppose, like, even just on the hill, like, there was a serious amount of Meath supporters there. So it was class.
Well, that was the thing, Andy. Like, I mean, when you turn over the ball, you like to turn over the ball and get a counter-attack. That's when you get as much of a cheer for one of them as you do for a score.
Yeah, facts. Like, even I think it was even Cleary cleared a ball off the goal line, and just like the cheers for that. Like, it was as good, like I said, it was as good as a score. Like,
yeah. Where did the belief come from that she could beat Dublin? I saw Emma Duggan saying after the game, I don't think a single person in the country believed we could do it today. And she's probably right. There was nobody thought that she could do it. It was 1-10 in some bookies. But like, I mean, you didn't buy into that at all.
No, not at all. And I think, you know what, I think there's a few interviews done during the week that I suppose you would have heard about the mention of luck and being lucky and stuff like that. And I think that's a huge insult. And I think like how we got there is definitely not through luck. It's absolutely hard work. And I think like everyone that's on the team, like management, everything, like nothing gets, like no stone gets unturned. Like the work that management put in, and also like the panel members, like as in we 40 odd girls train every week, and it doesn't matter who's marking you, whether their name's on the panel for the day or not. Like it's seriously competitive, and I think that's where the belief comes from, I suppose.
Well, I think the start you got really helped the belief, even if there was any doubts. Like, I mean, you caught the throw in, sprinted down the field and were fouled, and immediately then you did a huge target on the Dublin kick out, and you got loads of joy out of it. Like, it's almost like what I'm sure whatever you talked about before the game, it seemed to be kind of happening on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, look, we kind of said we wanted the first score, we wanted to set ourselves in, and definitely like their kick out was something that we really, really wanted to press. And obviously, like that goal that Emma got, and just even I think we know ourselves, like when the team is doing well on your kickouts, and if you can get a score on an opposition kickout, like it just builds such momentum. Like, and then obviously they have to turn straight away and go for another kickout. So I think that was something that we just like we really, really wanted to work on, and it definitely paid off in the end.
Yeah, it definitely did. And Emma's goal, I presume she meant that.
Fact, she's not going to say she didn't anyway.
I do think she did mean it. Like, the goalkeeper was so far off her line. Well, I'd say she was maybe throwing it in that direction, and if it would, like, because her next point landed on the top of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I watched it back myself, even a few of the clips and stuff this morning. So she has that cheeky little look up, so I wouldn't put it past her, to be honest.
No, I wouldn't put it past her either. Come here, talk to us about the style of play. Like, I mean, it suits your game personally because you like, you know, carrying the ball and running with it. It seems to suit a lot of the other girls as well.
Yeah, look, I suppose like fitness was something for us that we kind of identified where we really, really wanted to just be like that couldn't be one of the reasons that we wouldn't win a game, you know, kind of way. So I suppose we really worked on that. And yeah, look, we do play a running game, and I suppose people have been saying it's fairly defensive and stuff like that. But then I think like people are kind of getting a bit caught up about how defensive we were, because if you watch any match this year in ladies football, like when people turn it over, like as in there's always the half backs, there's always the midfielders getting back, there's always 10 or 11 behind the ball. So I suppose we might have that extra one or two plus that 11, but as in I don't think we're too defensive in comparison to a lot of the other teams. But yeah, look, I suppose the running game definitely suited us yesterday.
Definitely suits you. And like, I mean, you're very comfortable on it. It's like you hand pass a lot. But it's, you know, you never seem to be under pressure when you're like, even towards the end of the game when you were trying to run down the clock and like Dublin were trying to chase you down, and there never seemed to be much of a panic there.
Yeah, I think that just comes from, I think, from being, we've been in so many situations across the years where we could be the last 15 minutes of the game and a close match, and we never won them. We just always made stupid mistakes, and we might have given two or three of our own kickouts away and stuff like that. So I think it's because we've been in so many scenarios where we've lost that you kind of know what not to do at this stage. But like, yeah, look, we do hand pass a lot, but at the same time, like for us, we're all about keeping possession. And I suppose like, even I saw during the week, Finn, our hand pass is a lot higher than, let's say, Dublin's ratio of kick passing. But for us, like if we can be on the ball and keep possession, I suppose that's more important to us than whether we're hand passing or kick passing.
Well, that's it. Well, I suppose not every team has to play the same. Like I saw Mick Bowen saying that they're one hand pass to two, or one kick pass to two hand passes, and you're something like 1-6. But like, I mean, that's the same in the men's game. Not every team plays a kicking game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it depends on opposition as well. Like, then you kind of have to look at, like obviously teams are going to try and they're trying to bypass us with the kick pass, and obviously like if I was going up against us, I probably would do the exact same. But at the same time, like for us, like we have that kind of, I suppose, speed and endurance that we can hand pass at pace and still break with the pitch. It's not as if we can't do that, and I suppose we're not afraid to kick pass as well, I think.
I know, if it's on, you'll definitely kick back. But you need a great conditioning. Like, I mean, your fitness levels were off the charts. Like, I mean, I saw someone put it down to Eugene Ivers. Is he just with you this year? Is he new? I know he was with Donegal under Jim McGuinness, and you did a lot of work during the lockdown.
Oh, yeah, he's savage. He's been with us the last 2 years. Like, he's just unbelievable. Even during lockdown, like, we all had our individual plans and stuff like that, and constantly checking in with us. Like, he was just unbelievable. Like, and he's just... He, like anything you go to him with, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, like I mean, and come here, what about the improvement under Eamon Murray? Like, I mean, it's been well documented that she lost by 40 points to Cork. You scored 3 points and you got them as, you must have been only 16 or 17 at that stage. Like, I mean, what do you put this down to? A bit of organisation, is it? Can't be that simple.
No, I don't think it is as simple as that. And I suppose like the likes of those losses to Cork and stuff that you mentioned, but like we lost to Sligo, got relegated to Division 3. Like there's so many other losses. Like I even mentioned during the week, I think like Offaly travelled down with 15 or 16 players and absolutely annihilated us 1 year. So I just think it's kind of been like, it's definitely been building. And I was even saying yesterday, like there's a lot of girls in need, women I should say, that like have given their lives to meet football and haven't achieved any of the success. And I suppose when I first came in, a lot of them were kind of hanging up the boots, and it's like they'd given 10 or 12 years. Like it wasn't as if they were just doing it for a few years. So I suppose it's definitely been an accumulation of, I think, getting the interest back in ladies football in Mead, and building. And like the underage is unbelievable in Mead, and like Eamon, I was involved with Eamon under 16s and minor as well. So he's been on the scene for years, and I just think like the relationships he has with the girls on this team are like second to none, and he gets to know us all so well individually. So I think it's huge credit to him.
He talks a lot about having fun and enjoying yourselves and stuff like that. He seems like he's kind of like a father figure that if you were to lose, you'd be devastated for him type of manager.
Oh, absolutely. I suppose like you could give a terrible hand pass in training and Eamon will just still be standing on the sideline saying, that's class. He's an easy man to please sometimes, but he's just unbelievable, and it's his life, like you said. And I suppose for him and his family this year, it's been a great distraction for him as well.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I mean, you were player of the match yesterday, you were player of the match last year in the intermediate final. It's fair to say that you liked the big occasion in Croke Park.
Ah, look, who doesn't? I suppose they're the days you train for. I suppose I definitely don't think I deserved a player match yesterday. I really just think like the epitome of a team sport. Like I just think yesterday, like all of us stood up at different times. Like there was different pinnacle moments where different people stood up, like even just in the backs and stuff, like such key turnovers, and even like everyone that needed to step up stepped up at the right time. Like Monica made some unbelievable saves, and even just for us keeping possession, and when the subs came on, like Nevi G and Megan, like I think Megan won the first two balls, like intercepted two balls and she came on. So I just think it was definitely all of us together. It was absolutely, it wasn't just one of us.
Ah, no, you had some great performance. I think Monica, her kickouts were great, especially when you saw the Dublin kickout, you know, kind of losing a lot. She kind of did a bunch and break, and she'd just wait and wait and wait until, you know, somebody made that run and just tap it to them.
Yeah, and that's down to practice, like as in we, like in training and stuff like that, like as in it's just like practice and practice and practice and putting immense pressure on her during the kickouts. Like we probably have a lot of extra forwards in there when we're training, trying to put it like serious pressure on her. So I suppose maybe when she gets to those days and there's not as many on it, it kind of sees the space a bit more. But then again, like when you have 10 girls looking for a kick out as well, it always helps.
Yeah, exactly. I was tweeting about you during the game yesterday that you had some very questionable steps fouls. I think you might have taken 12 at one stage, and then the one time you didn't actually overcarry it, the referee blew you for overcarrying.
Yeah, look, I suppose I would have had a few words to the ref as well myself yesterday, but I suppose for me, maybe yesterday I definitely saw a few of those feet face steps, but I suppose it's hard not to take a few extra steps when you have someone hanging off the back of you, so we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like, no, but generally you get away with steps when somebody's tackling you, you know, and it kind of goes unnoticed. You had two different, you had Sinead Goldrick marking you pretty tight, and then did Laura McGee change over on you in the second half?
Yeah, they stopped in the second half. I think, look, like huge respect for Dublin. Like they're a seriously physical team, and like that they're so well conditioned. And I would have played with a lot of them in college as well, so I'd be fairly familiar with them. But like that, as in, it was really physical. And I suppose I probably myself anyway, I would like to see the ladies' game get a bit more physical and allow those rules kind of go that way.
Why is it not? Like, what's the argument against it? Because like, I mean, if you're talking about increasing crowds at games, and we were talking about it on the show here, crowd like the physicality of it. And yesterday was a more physical game than you usually see, and the game was all the better for it.
Yeah, and I suppose even for us, like the leap from intermediate to senior, like, thankfully, I think refs kind of do tend to let a little bit more go at senior, which is good. But I mean, like, it is kind of, in some ways, it's a bit strange that we're in the gym 2 days a week, every single week, like working on getting ourselves stronger, fitter, faster. And then I suppose you're kind of sometimes punished for being the stronger player. So I suppose it's strange in some senses.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. Maybe it's something that they're going to change. What's the plan for today then and the week?
The plan for, yeah, the foreseeable anyway, I think we'll head to a few of the clubs that have been good to us now over the last few weeks, looked after us, so we'll be doing a few stop-offs, I think, along the way.
The captain's club will be the first one. Anyways, if you don't get to Dunboyne with yourself and Emma after playing so well, I don't know what's going to happen.
There's a heap of us from Dunboyne. Well, absolutely, we'll turn them that way at some day now this week.
Come here, thanks very much for taking the call, Vicky, and congratulations yesterday.
No worries at all. Thanks so much, Tom.
Great stuff from Vicky there. We'll come back and we'll do some analysis on the match. Okay, so Meath 1-11, Dublin 12 points was the final score. Like, Meath never trailed in this game. It's incredible, really, that they dominated this game and never looked like they were kind of... I didn't think they looked... Maybe at one stage when Emma Duggan missed the free and Dublin went down to put two in it, I was thinking, ooh, that could be, a little bit. But Sarah, you've already brought up the kickouts. This set the tone for the whole thing. Vicky Wall wins the throw-in, runs down the field, fouled. Now, bang. Next kick out is nailed. Niamh O'Sullivan should have worked a goal at that stage. But now immediately you're thinking, you know, these kick outs are under pressure.
Yeah, I think the kick outs was huge. I think it was a massive part of the game. And I think the way they worked as a unit, a cohesive unit, and the way they zonally pressed up on them was unreal. But if you watch at some point, there's a clip that I saw on Twitter, I think last night, but the corner forward, you know, she starts kind of between the 45 and the 21, and she makes it the whole way back to the 45 and intercepts the ball. But you could really see that throughout the game. It was like they knew exactly what was going to happen, and they've obviously practiced it time and time again.
Right, and Ciara Trant, she's not known for a dodgy kicker. Like, Emma Duggan said before the game breached that they targeted this. Like, is that not something other teams would have targeted necessarily because she has a good kick out, or is this a very brave thing Meath did?
Yeah, I suppose, look, they knew what they had to stop. They knew they had to stop the overlap. And so that's that. Obviously, that's where, because that would be Dublin's strongest point, is their overlap. And they did that to precision, to be honest. And I suppose it was the same with Cork when they played Cork. I mean, Martina O'Brien couldn't get a kick out. I think Martina O'Brien kicked away 3 or 4 kickouts as well against Meath. Just the pressure was immense by them. So I think that's a plan that they've had with a long time. I don't think you implement that just for a final. That's something that you're working on, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And just as well, Emma Troy, the cornerback for Meath, like, I just thought she was immense for the game. She was putting pressure on their kickouts. And then she was gone up the other side for her own kickouts, and she won an amount of them as well. So I think they just worked really, really hard as a team, and they put pressure where they knew they needed to put pressure on. But I think that's been the plan with all year, because, I mean, plans like that, you don't just implement them 2 weeks before an All-Ireland final. It's something they've definitely been working on.
They definitely went zonal, Sarah. Like, when you played Dublin in the semi-final, what was your plan? You know, just woman for woman, for example, or would you have tried that zonal as well?
Yeah, I think we tried it, maybe didn't execute it as well as we did. But there was a moment in the second half where I think for about 15 or 20 minutes, I think we executed it pretty well, and we really put Dublin under a lot of pressure. And there was a moment where Lisa Caff nearly, she hit the post, and it was a bit of, I think we were down by 4 at the time and we were going into a water break. Had we got that score, maybe there would have been a bit more momentum. It was a bit of a moment in the game. So I think, and that all was coming from our kickouts. Any scores we got in the second half did come from kickouts. So if we could have implemented that for 60 minutes, you know, I think the result would have been different. So I think obviously their fitness as well that they have, because that takes an awful lot of hard work as well from the forwards to work so far back. But also smarts from someone like Emma Duggan. She was still able to impact going forward, but also was impacting defensively as well. And, you know, that's not easy to do.
In the women's game, I suppose, Breed, it's a lot easier to do that big press, because there probably isn't that threat of the really, really long one, you know, out over you to maybe take 9 of your players out. I almost felt sorry for the goalkeeper at one stage. Like, there was very little for her to, you know, for her to aim at. And another point I was thinking, like, can the goalkeeper go off the ground if they want, or do they have to go out of the hands? I would think going off the ground for a short little one to the corner back would be a lot safer, you know, than trying to maybe kick it out of your hands, which for me, it would be riskier.
Yeah, Sarah, I don't know, but I'd say there's no problem if you want to kick it off the ground.
For the short ones, it might make more sense.
You can, if you want. Never, it's just preference. It's like a free kick, I reckon. You can take from the ground or take from your hands.
Yeah, sure. I suppose I've never seen a goalkeeper put a ball down to give a kick out yet. Maybe we're just more comfortable kicking off our hands. Like, as you said, I suppose you always know the ball isn't going to go that far up the field. So that's why it's so much different to men's game as well for the kickout strategy.
Yeah.
You know, they always talk about Stephen Cluxton having the short kickout and changing the kickouts, and we'd always be saying, geez, that's been done in ladies football with a long time. So no, I'm not comparing men's to women or anything like that, but, you know, it's just something that has been done in ladies football with a long, long time too.
I have to say, on the other side then, Monica McGurk was just completely calm, and the camera behind the goal is great. Like, Meade were doing this bunch and break where they're all meeting in the middle, and she just stands there waiting. She's not under any pressure. Relax, someone's going to make a break, and you're thinking, you know, this girl is under pressure. She's not. She's just waiting for that one break to the wing, and she just taps it straight. She was the opposite. She was just completely calm in her kickouts.
Yeah, I think that filtered the whole way through the field as well. I think you could really feel that offer. And I think when you trust your goalkeeper as well, it does really filter throughout the field. And someone with, you know, a good directional voice, I could just see from the cameras that she was using her voice a lot. And I think they obviously had everything well set up as well in terms of their kickouts. But yeah, she was brilliant yesterday. She made one really crucial save when Hannah Terrell took the shot on goal. So I think that was another big moment for Dublin.
Yes, it was a huge advantage there on the kickouts. Talk to me about Meade's style, Breed. Like, I mean, Mick Bowen said after the game, when he was asked about, you know, the new development in the game, he says that style hasn't been there. I'm not knocking it. It's great. The game evolves and people come up with different systems. Has that kind of counter-attack style not been in? I remember seeing a Dublin-Galway All-Ireland final, which was a pretty defensive game. Maybe the actual counter-attack wasn't as good. Maybe that's what Meade have brought to it. That good, easy on the eye, you know, kind of counter-attack.
Yeah. Look, I think Meath have a system of holding onto the ball and just playing it around and then making a dart through. There was times there you could see, like, you know, you'd be nearly shouting at one of the girls to make a run, you know, or, you know, and like I was a neutral, I'd be the same if a Dublin girl wasn't making a run, you know. But you'd be like, oh my God, run ahead of her. But it was kind of like their style of play. They were very confident on the ball, which was, you know, for a new team up senior in an All-Ireland final against the best team in the country, Dublin, like they were so confident on the ball. And I was getting fierce excited. I was like, oh my God, would you like get the ball down the field? And but they just seemed to be very confident. A little different, you know, they didn't do this overlapping play. There was a lot of, we'll say, horizontal play and kind of slightly backwards, but they were confident doing it. The first half was fierce exciting. I think for 20 minutes of the second half, it kind of got a bit, it was like a dangerous play, but obviously they were confident doing it. And, you know, it was a credit to them to keep it going.
Yeah, their conditioning's incredible because that's a grueling game plan, Sarah, I suppose, isn't it? Like, I mean, and a lot of hand passes, you know, I'm not saying that's in a critical way. They don't want to give the ball away. So everything goes through the hands, even if they turn back, wait for the support runners to all catch back up and work from there. You know, they're just not giving it away.
Yeah, I do. I'd love to know a bit more about what their strength and conditioning is like and all that, because I think I always feel when you play Dublin, it's like, sometimes normally the last 15 minutes you see Dublin, like teams get very close to Dublin until the last 15 minutes and then they pull away because they are probably a small bit fitter or are stronger and probably a bit more strength and conditioning done their legs. And that's why yesterday looking at it, it was like it felt like it was the opposite way around, that Meath just had more in their legs and they could have kept going. I know there was a shaky moment, like you said, in the second half for 10 minutes where you're like, will Dublin's experience just override everything here? But I'd love to know exactly what they are doing, because I think they look extremely fit.
Eugene Ivers is their strength and conditioning coach, and he was Donegal's under Jim McGuinness strength and conditioning coach, and he's been with them for the last, I was talking to Vicky, we did that interview obviously came in, but she was saying that they did so much work during lockdown with Eugene, and you know, their conditioning, they never got tired, they didn't look tired, they didn't look nervous at the end, you know, it didn't look like they were waning in any way, did it, Sarah?
Yeah, and I would have like played with Vicky Wall and Aimee Cleary when I was in DCU, and like they've just looked like they've gotten themselves into the best physical shape they've ever been in. So they're obviously doing, you know, their strength and conditioning, their running and their nutrition has to be really on point, and everyone seems to have bought into it because they did look like another level now yesterday.
Yeah, Eamon Murray said about their style, Breege, is we're working on that a few years now. It's really coming together. It's very hard to score against us, which is fair enough. They've a lot of bodies in the scoring zone, and you know, like around that D area, which would be the majority of the scoring zone, that's where they have all their players.
Yeah, like, I mean, I suppose the one thing I was saying, you know, if Carla Rowe gets the ball, you know, she's definitely going to get in for a goal. But Meath were smart enough to keep her away from the play, like, you know. Like, when was the last time we didn't see Dublin score a goal? Like, you know, they've been scoring 2-3 goals every game, if not more. So, yeah, I think that would have been a huge frustration for Dublin, not to be getting that goal. And they had the goal chances. As you said earlier, Monica's save was outstanding. So, yeah, they just, you know, it like you could see they're working, like you'd have to know that they're working that system with a while. And it showed, and they're growing in confidence, and their strength and conditioning was unbelievable. And even like Niamh O'Sullivan there, will say she's a light girl, but by God, she's a hardy bit of stuff. Like, you know, you don't push her off the ball, or she doesn't pull out of any hard tattles, you know, she's a hardy bit of stuff. So, you know, she's obviously really physically strong as well, like, you know. So yeah, they've an all round team, and it was great to see it.
Yeah, Niamh O'Sullivan's point at the end was outstanding, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought Niamh O'Sullivan was absolutely excellent yesterday. I think she was very smart. She got herself into really good positions. I think she was a huge threat for them. But also, when you see a cornerback scoring on a day like that in an All Ireland final, the momentum that would give the rest of the group, I can only imagine. But I know if I saw my cornerback coming up the field and scoring a point, I'd be like, "We're on here. Today's the day." Do you know? Yeah. So I do think there was. you could just see that real work and fight and care for each other that they had on the field yesterday.
Yeah, their quarterback try when she came up and scored two, but she had that old kind of old school punting style that, remember, Breach would have been in the ladies game 20 years ago, whereas now they're all the good players are kicking around the corner.
That old.
Do you understand?
I do think Emma Troy, for me, Vicky Wall was unbelievable. And Neva Sullivan was unbelievable. But I actually thought, for me, Emma Troy, the cornerback for Meath, she was actually my player of the game, to be honest. She worked like a devil. She was on the ball and she just seemed to give the right pass every time. She was blocking, she was harassing, and then she was up score. She scored 2 points, didn't she?
Yeah.
I just thought she was, unbelievable, a typical cornerback, just do her job, get it done, go up and score the points and run back down the field as fast as she could. I thought she was excellent, she won so many of Monica's kickouts. She dispossessed the ball so many times. She was the runner off the ball. She was a joy to watch, really, I thought as well. It was lovely to see her play so well.
You don't want this, Sarah, coming into the game where you have to follow her around the field for the day.
No, absolutely not. I think that's your worst nightmare as a corner forward. You're like, no, I don't want them to go anywhere. And when they start going up the field, you're like, oh, I have no choice. I have to go. But it just take away from your game then,
absolutely,
because you're
does,
not
yeah.
focusing on scoring. You're not focusing on getting into positions, being creative like you should be as a forward. You're focusing on being like, I have to be a defender today. So, you wouldn't like to see Emma Troy coming. Definitely not.
You don't mind doing your little pretending to be tackling up there, but the
yeah, I'm very good at pretending to tackle. You'd think after being in AFL for the last 3 years that I wouldn't mind the tackle, but yeah, I probably subject to running away from a few of them.
The majority of forwards kind of pretend to tackle.
Yeah.
And anyone who's played can tell that they're pretending. I'm not just saying you in general. But
to go with real intent, and that's the thing with Meath, I think they actually went with such intent, the forwards, yesterday. And that's where I think that hard work that they were coming off the back of, I think that was what was giving them the real momentum going forward, was actually the fact that they were defending so well together.
Yeah. Last word on Dublin then, Breach. Again, Mick Bohan was saying after the match he expects six to retire. Are we seeing a changing of the guard here? That's a lot of players. They're older girls, probably weren't at their best yesterday. It's the All-Ireland wide open now. Have Dublin come back to the pack? Are Mayo, Galway, Cork, Meath?
You're lucky you said Mayo there.
Everyone's in the mix now, Breach, pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's really opened up. I think there will be a few retirements, definitely. Because they've been on the road so long and they've won a lot together and they've lost a lot together, I would imagine a few of them to go. But I do think it is going to open up things a small bit. And even Dublin being beaten, it's kind of like when Cork were beaten, people realised, OK, they can be beaten. When the Kilkenny Hurlers were beaten, they were the kingpins, for so long. Dublin means they were eventually beaten as well. And everything comes to an end and things change. And I think it'll give confidence to a lot of counties. They'll see, okay, this is Meath can do it, sure, why can't we? And it opens up a lot more for other years, definitely. And don't get me wrong, Dublin aren't gone. That's, they still have some great players. They have a great bench as well. And I think yesterday, I suppose Carla Rowe had an injury since the Mayo game, and Sinead Goldrick hadn't played a whole pile all year. She had a really bad injury. So, there are two more players now that, could be flying fit for next year again. And, sometimes when you get injured before a match, it can play on your mind and stuff like that. And, they're certainly not gone. They'll be around next year. But I think Mayo, Galway, Cork, Donegal were fierce close to Dublin as well. Obviously, you'll have Meath, and you know, they'll be the strongest teams, I think, next year.
Yeah, so there's a feeling after all those years of Dublin-Cork domination, Sayre, that potentially it might open up a little bit, you know, which will make you guys going back training in January a little bit easier, potentially.
Yeah, definitely. I think when teams have won for so long, it's like Cork and like Dublin, you know, there's this sense of before teams turn up to games that they've lost already, like psychologically they've lost the game. So I think, like you said, Breach, like Dublin being beaten now, it's going to install a lot of belief in other teams to say, actually, we can do it, they can be beaten, and you know, they're not inhumane, like it's 15v15 at the end of the day. So I do think that there is a real opportunity in this for an awful lot of teams, and it will really open things up, and it'll be very competitive next year.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. Right, we'll leave it there for the analysis, and we'll come back with performance of the weekend. So performance of the weekend, I think we've gone through a lot of these nominations here already. Like, we did mention Emma Duggan. One thing I wanted to mention was her kicking style, Sarah. Like, it's like she caresses it or something. Do you know, she's just, it's such a lovely kind of lazy style. She's not trying to, it reminds me of Conor Callaghan. She's not trying to drive it 100 miles over the bar. I think her second point, where she received a hand pass with her back to the goals, she didn't have any idea where the posts were. And she kind of was able to hook it around, and she knew it was over the minute she kicked it, because she kind of turned around and ran back out the field. You know, like, I think it was her manager said that she's going to be as good as Amy Mackin, and she works harder than Amy Mackin. Like, that's high praise.
Yeah, that's a massive statement. Amy Mackin, an absolute star. But I think it just looked so effortless for her. It looked easy for her. But what I loved about her yesterday was, like I said, she got in for a few scores, but I did love her work rate, and I loved how much of a team player she was. I think she brought so much people into the game as well. And I just thought that was, you know, you do need that. You need even a forward who can score 4 goals a game or whatever. You need them to be a really good team player as well. And I think she really was that yesterday. And that was very important, that she needed to, I suppose, understand that she was going to be, big players are always going to get targeted on days like that. And she knew that she needed to, I suppose, throw the ball around a small bit more yesterday. And she did that. So that shows real class as well to me.
It definitely does. And like, I mean, in a way, Breach does that system of play. It wouldn't exactly suit her. You know, she'd like a few early balls in and, you know, turn and kick it over the bar. Whereas she out around the midfield, she's receiving a hand pass. She's just hand passing it off. Sometimes when you're looking at it, you're saying, she's better than that now. Leave her in closer to the goals. But she doesn't seem to mind the work.
No, not at all. And I think that's what is very impressive about her. Like I said a while ago, you know, she just wants to get her job done. She's a team player and she's just an effortless baller. You know, I think it just comes naturally to her. Some people are just really talented, and it's very hard to get a really talented player, like, to be so natural as well as such a hard worker. You know, that's actually very rare. And I think she's definitely one of those players. You know, comparing her to Amy Mackin is a big statement, and you know, it's she should be privileged to be compared to her too. You know, but yeah, I think she's an all round player, and she certainly isn't one bit selfish. You know, as good as she is, you know, she'll give the ball to the person in the right position, which is fantastic to see. And again, that's why Mead won. Like, you know, it's all about a team game. You know, it's not about individuals at all. And she's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, she's the real deal. Niamh O'Sullivan, we've mentioned her, you know, brilliant kind of turnaround from snatching at that first one when she didn't show much composure there. It was like there was a goal on there, but she put away. It was like, geez, this might not be her day. And then she completely turned it around and was excellent. Aveen Cleary, a Rolls-Royce of a number 6. That's how kind of I would, you know, describe her, Sarah.
Yeah, I felt Aveen got on an awful lot of ball yesterday. And I think as well, there was one, I think, shot that someone took, I can't remember who, and she was there to sweep up the breaking ball. And she did that a lot of times. Kind of, she was between the full back line, and you'd often see her up in the forwards as well. I think I'd say if you looked at her GPS yesterday, she would have covered every blade of grass in Croke Park. So I thought she was exceptional yesterday.
It's the way, I suppose, the way Mead play Breach. It's like, you know, you're going to get those turnovers, and she's always there to carry ball out of defence. You know, and when she's on the ball, Mead don't have to panic. You know, she's not going to lose it. You get that kind of reassurance when she has the ball.
Yeah, like, again, I just felt, you know, for a young team, and we'll say an inexperienced team in a way, like, she was just so confident on the ball, and I felt they all kind of trusted each other. They obviously have this big trust amongst each other, you know, which is key to any team. And I definitely felt they had that, and she was pitiful to that as well, you know. When she had the ball, when she won the ball, I think it gave them all a savage lift, and she knew where to be. Like, she's an intelligent player as well. Like, she just knew where to be and how to stand off the girls running through as well, the Dublin girls running through. So she did a superb game as well.
Yeah, she was excellent. Emma Troy, we've mentioned her already. She was outstanding. Vicky Wall, we've mentioned her a little bit. Like, I mean, she's a force of nature, though, Sarah, isn't she? Like, I mean, she's very, very hard to stop.
Yeah, she's nearly impossible to stop with the power and pace that she brings. It's unbelievable. Like, it's rare that someone has power and pace, and she was just running at the Dublin defence time and time again. Three players had to go to Vicky, meaning that there was players free outside her, or else they had to foul her. It was one or the other. They came to her and she popped it over their head, or she was fouled. So I just think she broke lines all day yesterday and caused absolute havoc.
That's the whole thing about that game plan too. You have to have someone to break the lines, and now you're through, and now, you know, the defence is scrambling, Breach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe that's like, you know, they held the ball like around midfield, centre back midfield, they held it, and then they'd give it to kind of Vicky, and then she'd break the line, or, you know, they held it for a long time and then they break the line, you know. And I think Vicky's a very cute player as well. You know, she drew this momentum foul a lot, you know. So yeah, she crossed in front of the Dublin back, and she got this, like, well, it's a momentum foul because the Dublin girl couldn't do anything about fouling her. She just, you know, Vicky pushed into her path, and she was tripped, and, you know, it just gave him great freeze and give him an option to open things up again. So she's a very smart player. She's full of power. You know, and I think, Sarah, you're right. It, like, it's not often you get power and speed together. Like, I mean, I just think she's such an athlete. Like, it's, you know, and I think as you said, she's in the shape of her life as well. She's, you know, she looks so fit and stuff. It's great to see it.
She definitely loves buying that free. When she gets 1 yard, she's cutting straight across, and she'll be tripped up, or she'll be, you know, it's that kind of, you know, sometimes she goes down without much contact. She wants that free big time. Like, I mean, she's looking for it. But, like, I mean, that's her. That's the way. And listen, like, the very first free she got in the game, that was a trip. But, like, if you're cutting across, there's a good chance you're going to get tripped, you're going to get hurt. You know, there is a part of her putting her body on the line by cutting across players like that, Sarah.
Yeah, and to be fair, the way she plays is very brave and fearless as well. So, like, you do have to say, like, she puts herself in position. She goes in for a hard ball, 50-50 ball as well. But, yeah, she does do that step across someone's path very well. I think that, like you said, there was people tripping up over her feet and people trying to grab onto her arms. They had no choice but to try foul her or step into her path.
Yeah, exactly. One other mention is Sarah Dillon, who scored 1-6 for Westmeath, who won very easily. 1-6 from play, Breach, from Sarah. And she's had she's only 20, and she's a lovely kicking style as well, like a really top level player. And her manager was talking, and he said she's had such hard luck in the last few years. Two cruciates, two shoulder dislocations, and she never got a run. This year we got her fit, thanks be to God. She's transformed the team and is an absolutely magnificent footballer, and she's only young. She's going to get even better. She's coming into her prime now. Like, I mean, I have to admit, I hadn't heard of Sarah Dillon, and maybe that's because of all these injuries, but, like, I just saw her clips. She's kicking really, really high level points.
Yeah, Westmeath played unbelievable yesterday. I felt a bit sorry for Wexford. You know, not an easy position to be in. But yeah, their scoring ability was excellent, and Sarah was unbelievable. I suppose to come back from those injuries, you know, one cruciate is hard at that age. Two is unbelievable, and then she had the shoulder injuries as well. So it shows great character of her to come back. And I suppose even for management to see her ability and not give up on her is a lovely trait of the management as well, because, you know, they sometimes, when someone keeps getting injuries, they're kind of put to the back of the bus and they're nearly forgotten about. So it was lovely to see her get the chance like that and to come back. And they'll be up senior now next year, so they'll be a big jump for them. I'm sure they'll be playing Dublin and Westmeath in Dublin and Meath in in Leinster Championship, so it'll be a big jump for her. But you know, looking from yesterday, she just seemed to do so well. You know, and like you said, it was an effortless, and she just seems to be a good baller.
Yeah, she definitely does, Sarah. Impressed with her scores. Come from tight angles as well.
Yeah, unbelievable. And like you said, to have that many injuries, it's like an athlete's worst nightmare. And to have them at that age and to actually deal with not only the physical effects of that, but the psychological effects of that, being like, will I retire from football? If you've done two cruciates and two shoulders, like, that's an awful lot of injuries. Some people don't get that in their whole career. Yeah. So for her to bounce back from that, absolute respect and admiration. And fair juice to her yesterday. That's an unbelievable win for Westmead, and they've been coming for a long time. They're knocking on the door. When they get up to senior, you know, they're always a challenge to beat. So I think they'll do very well in senior, but it will be a massive jump.
Yeah. Well, they think they're going to win the All-Ireland next year now after what Meath did.
Yeah,
Westmead
exactly.
Will be getting really
the
cocky.
The sky is your limit. I think Meath have installed that belief in all of us now. So, you know, they'd be a true inspiration to the whole country really at the moment.
I think they are. So who are we giving performance of the weekend to? I think you're with Emma Troy. Are you, Breach? Who are you leaning towards, Sarah?
I think I'm Neve O'Sullivan. I was just really impressed with her smarts yesterday. I think you can't coach some of the stuff that I think she did really well yesterday.
Yeah, so we're not going to give it to Vicky Walsh. She got it in the intermediate final last year. She got it on TV yesterday and she's gotten enough. So I'm going to have to come down with the casting vote on Neve O'Sullivan and Emma Troy, because I'm leaning towards Emma Duggan. So I don't know.
Go for it.
Well, listen, it's my show, so usually I just come to whoever I want to get it. Absolutely,
you
gets
make
it.
The rules around here.
To be fair, like, I mean, usually I can find it hard, Breach, to find a lot in the last few games with the men. There's no outstanding performances, but there's 6-7. We haven't even mentioned the Meath midfielders, who came up against the Dublin midfield that is huge, physical, you know, brilliantly strong, and brilliant footballers too, and broke even easily with them.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think, like, Meath, just all round, they were all excellent. But as we were saying there was maybe a couple of standout moments for other players. You know, so yeah, it's kind of hard to pick. I mean, we've four there as it is, and it's kind of hard to pick between them as it is. So I mean, I would have huge thoughts on how excellent Vicky Wall was, how excellent Neve was, and how excellent Emma Duggan is. So, it's hard to pick, really, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with Sarah Dillon, left field, 1-6 from play, points from all sorts of angles, lovely kick in style, and an absolute disastrous run of injuries to go to Croke Park and put in a performance like that. I think she's well deserving performance of the weekend, so congratulations to her. Right, that's it. Thanks very much, Sarah and Breach, for the review show.
Thank you.
Be back on Thursday and we'll preview the All-Ireland Men's Final. We'll talk to you all then. Good luck.
But this little dink ball, the only one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken out, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
Oh, really? Yeah, I must have been asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring at me, "I Caffrey, you Free State bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.